This is Cornerstone Baptist Church, a ministry built on faith, family, and fellowship. We now join the exciting teaching and preaching ministry of Pastor Dwight McKissick. Now, here's Pastor McKissick.
Now open your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 5. Nehemiah chapter 5. I want to finish the message today that I started preaching a couple of Sundays ago, and thank God, didn't Reverend Robert White do an excellent job on last Sunday? Amen. Last time I preached here, I talked about the reality and the remedy of money problems. Let me say the reality and the remedy of money problems. And in that message, I was only able to get to point one, the reality of money problems. And today, one man after church said to me, what I need to hear is the remedy. He said, I know my reality. I need to hear the remedy. So today, I'm going to finish that message. But by way of review, for some who may not have been here, in part one of this message, I pointed out in Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 1, that the people were crying out under the weight of financial problems and pressure. Verse 1 says, and there was a great outcry of the people and their wives against their Jewish brethren. How many of you know when your money is funny and your change is strange, it'll make you want to cry out sometime? When you got more month left than you got money, it can make you want to cry out. Money can have an effect on our emotions. It can make you feel good if you got some. It can make you feel bad if you don't have any. If you have your bills paid and money in your pocket and money in the bank, refrigerator and pantry full of food, gas tank on F, and closet full of the clothes you want, taxes paid, tithes paid, insurance all paid up to date, don't you feel good when you got all that stuff in order? But on the other hand, if you're experiencing the opposite, if there is lack, if there is insufficiency, if your bank account's overdrawn, if there are bills due and no money in the bank, if creditors are calling and you hate to answer the phone, if you let your money situation control your emotions, a lack of money can lower your self-esteem. You just don't feel quite as good when you don't have money in your pocket or in the bank or anywhere else. That's why in Ecclesiastes, the Bible says money answers all things. Now, what that really means is money just can affect any situation just about your name. Even if you're sick, it can pay the hospital bills if it can't hear you. Ever got a witness? Even if you're going through a divorce, they can pay the lawyer if it don't save the marriage. Have I got a witness? So money, to some extent, addresses most problems. My pastor, Dr. Robert Dixon Sr., used to say it takes money to be born. I was shocked when my first child was born. I had to pay Dr. Reed or Dr. Dan Pine Bluff $3,000-$5,000 back then. No telling. What does it cost to have a baby now? How much? I had zero insurance, so I'd get paid on Sunday and have to take my whole check to the doctor. But I was determined not to have my baby born and with bills that he come into this earth already in debt. How many know if you got debts out there, it may take you a while to pay them, but honesty and integrity say you keep on paying your debt until they get paid. You don't have the luxury of saying, I got the service, the baby's here now. No, treat that doctor, treat your creditors like you would want to be treated if you're in their shoes. So it takes money to be born, it takes money to live, it takes money to die. All along this journey, Dr. Dickinson said, from birth to the grave, as long as you're breathing, how many of you know you're going to need some money? And when you don't have any, it can make you, as they were doing in our text, it can make you cry out. Now, there were at least four monetary problems the people were facing. In verse 2, it says, for there were those who said, we, our sons and our daughters, are many. Therefore, let us get grain that we may eat and live. Just simply buying food was a problem. Just not sumptuous food, but just grain, something to put in my stomach just so I can live. And they had problems with having enough money to buy food. Secondly, in verse 3, the economic problems were so strong they had to take out a mortgage on their house and land to buy food. That was their second problem, and it put their houses at risk. If you keep reading, you'll see where later on their creditors, because Nehemiah appealed to them, had to give back the land and the houses, but they had lost their land and their houses. That was a third problem, because paying property taxes was also a problem. Their houses were now mortgaged, and because of all of this debt, they were losing their houses. They were losing their land. And we also see that children in verse 5 were becoming slaves because of the debt. Thank God today, if you could take folk children because of debt, some of us wouldn't have any. But in this economy, in this government, they could literally take your children and make your children go to work as a way of paying off your debt. And they were losing their children even to foreigners because of this economy. And all those problems made the people cry out. Now that's the reality of financial problems, but what is the remedy? I'm glad you asked. Well, in verse 6 of our text, it says, "And I became very angry," Nehemiah said, "when I heard their outcry and these words." When he heard the people saying, "Our children have been taken from us to satisfy our debts. Our land and houses are being taken from us. We don't have food to eat, and we owe property taxes." The people were crying out. Nehemiah says, here's how we're going to deal with this situation. The first thing he did in verse 6, the Bible says, "And I became very angry." How many know you ought to get angry about your debt today? Don't get angry at your wife. Don't get angry at your husband. Don't get angry at the Republicans. Don't get angry at the Democrats. Don't get angry at black folk. Don't get angry at white folk or Asians or Hispanics. Don't get angry at people. Don't get angry at your boss lady, your boss man. You get angry at your debt. You ought to get mad enough to do something about it. Have I got a witness? Just don't weep over it and complain about it and cry about it and yet wallow in it. Some of us continue in debt year after year after year, and it gets worse and worse because we don't get angry about it. We just complain about it. But the Bible says that Nehemiah got angry. He declared a war on debt. He went to address the creditors. He became angry when he heard the outcry and their words. So one of the remedies, a young man who asked me about this, is you have to look at your debts, write them down, list them out, name who you owe, put the amount, total it up, look at that sheet, and get mad. I remember visiting a Christian couple once, and they had a pile of bills. I went by their house, and they were saying, I was trying to lead them to Christ and a relationship with the church. And they said, "But how could God let this happen?" And they literally showed me that pile of bills. And I didn't want to say it. I was just meeting them. But I wanted to say to them, "I don't see God's signature on none of those bills." In other words, we'll go make all of those decisions, make all of those choices. Then we want to know, where is God? How could he let that? Get angry at that pile of debt. And don't blame the one that you need to help you get out of it. You need God on your side, amen. So don't blame him for your debts and my debts. Secondly, not only did he get angry, but he says in verse 7, after serious thought. Do you see that? Now that's the second thing you do. Here's the second remember. That Hebrew word means he pondered. He paused. Initially, great emotions at the death of the people. Then he gave serious thought. You can't approach this subject with heat only. You got to approach it with light. You can't approach it with emotions only. You got to approach it with education. He stopped to give serious thought. He stopped to develop a plan of action. How many of you believe you can overcome your debt issues? You don't have to be broke, busted, and disgusted. You don't have to lose this financial war. The thief cometh but to, yes, kill and steal and destroy you financially. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life. I was on TV the other night with a man who says, maybe the devil got the first shot. Jesus let the devil go first. And so the devil time is up. He's already hit you financially. He's already knocked you down. He's already got you crying out. The devil has done what the devil do. Go ahead and knock yourself out, devil, because it's not over yet. Now I'm going to move over to the other side because Jesus said that he's going to give me life and give it to me more abundantly. Now, devil, you are a liar. Get thee behind me, Satan. I will no longer be in defeat. I will no longer be on the bottom. I will no longer be broke. I am getting ready to move to an abundant life. Anybody ready to move to abundant life today? He gave serious thought. You ought to leave this message at sometime tonight, tomorrow, Monday evening. You ought to sit down with your bills. After you finish getting angry, give some serious thought to your action. Maybe you need some help, a coach. We have a Crown ministry here. They meet weekly. We got Crown leaders. We got people who are trained to coach you. Most of them have had serious financial problems themselves, so they got a burden for people who are going through it because they've been through it. Because let me tell you, when you don't have debt, your money go a whole lot further. When you don't have debts, after you get through paying the necessary stuff, utilities and the insurance and taxes, that's stuff that always occurs. Once you get past that, the question is, what do I do with the rest of this? Isn't that a good problem to have? How many of you know you don't have to have debt? And I'm going to tell you, debt is not the solution to your current money crisis. Getting in further debt is not going to help you. Don't borrow more than you can afford. You see, that was part of the problem here. The people had mortgages, they had borrowed debt that they could not service. You see, you have to recognize that paying interest is not in your best interest. Did you get that? Paying interest is not in your best interest. People who understand interest collect interest. People who don't understand interest pay interest. And by the way, stay away from all those folk on the corner talking about come and cash a check and pay their loans. Title loan. They getting ready to mess you all over. You and I going to have to learn to walk by faith and learn to do without. Why don't you try God? Why don't you trust God? My wife came home crying one day from school when she taught school here in Arlington. And she walked in the door with tears in her eyes, and she was an emotional wreck. And I said, what's going on? What's wrong? You know, and if you got a wife like this, you know, it takes them a while to collect themselves. And I'm trying to figure out, what did I do? What did I say? Something major's going on. She had gotten her paycheck, and they had garnished her check, not because of taxes she owed, but because of taxes I owed. She was embarrassed. She was hurt. She never did tell me I wasn't a good husband, but you know, I felt this low. They couldn't get to my money to take taxes. They could come take church money and pay my taxes, but they could get to hers. I owed the IRS $2,000 and some dollars. I didn't have it. I'd have paid them if I had it. I didn't have it. I mean, you, the old folks say you can't get blood out of a turnip. I didn't have it. You see, God has blessed us in the past few years. Some of you see where I am today. You don't know I have sat in your seat and missed one or two paychecks. I'm back in some of y'all's seats. That's why you got to manage well now. So if the day comes, some folk who thought they had a secure job in Ireland, they telling them, June, you getting your last check. None of us know when that could happen. My wife never threatened to leave me, but you know, I was scared. She was so hurt. So after I found out what was going on with her and I knew I was guilty of sin, I ran to the telephone. I should have been running to God, but I ran to the telephone and said, Mama! My wife is crying. What's she crying about, boy? What'd you do? I didn't have the money to pay my tax. I was trying to get to it, but next thing I know, they'd have gone to school and took her money. And so I told my mother, I says, I'm going to go to her credit union. You see how sorry of a man I was? I'm doing better. I said, I'm going to go to my wife's credit union because she could go get money from my credit union. I didn't have a credit union to go get anybody from. And I said, I'm going to borrow all the money and pay them so they won't mess with her check again. And so I cannot stand seeing her in this emotional wreck. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but man, if you ever, you know you haven't handled your money right and it's affecting your family. Boy, that's a tough pain. And listen to what my mother said to me. That's the only solution I could come up with. I will never forget these words. She said, son, you cannot borrow your way out of debt. She said, if you go get one of them loans, it's gonna lull you into sleep. And it's gonna make you think you got it made now. And you'll always be chasing your tail. I said, I'm thinking to myself, well, what do I do? Bob said, honor your father and mother. I love my mama today. She said, son, I'm putting $2,100 in the mail. My mama sent me the money because she didn't want me to. She understood that borrowing it would be a problem. I didn't even know she had $2,100. I was glad to learn that. Took me a while to pay her back. She didn't ask for it back, but because I honored my mother. It may have taken 1 to 2 years, probably didn't take three. It may have taken as much as close to 2 years. But it's just something about it. I wasn't going to go into the family reunion and everybody in the family know Dwight done took mama's $2,000. Now some of y'all go to y'all family reunion like that. No, I'm not going to my family reunion like that. All that story was to say, do whatever you have to do, pray, but borrowing money is not the best solution in every case. Now, I'm not one of those people that said, don't borrow, don't borrow, don't borrow. But you have to be very strategic about it. And you maybe when you borrow, it ought to be risking an investment to do something to gain money. Not if when you got to borrow to pay groceries, that's a problem. We got to borrow to pay your light bill. That kind of borrowing is not good. So what's the remedy with your next paycheck? Hopefully you'll get a paycheck. You and I got to learn to pay our tithes, because God said he'll get on your side and open up the windows if you do that. And he'd rebuke the devourer. You got to learn how to pay yourself. Don't apologize for that. I have money every month, and God has blessed me not to go back and touch it here in recent days. I don't even trust it to get in my hand, so I have them to send it straight to the account. Because if it comes through your hand, the devil will tempt you with it. If your job will allow money to go straight to your savings account, or you put your money in the bank and go straight, you pay your, I don't care who else you owe, pay God and pay yourself. And talk to the creditors. Tell them you got a budget plan. Get you a budget plan. Don't avoid them. Call them before they call you. And tell them you got a date. You know you can pay them. Give them that date and honor that date. But you need to start paying God and paying yourself first. Treat yourself like you one of your creditors. Well, on the other hand, maybe not. You'll have to work off a budget and save for your future. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. You got to work hard, work hard. We work 5 days a week, 4 hours a week, but the Bible says 6 days thou shalt what? Who told y'all to only work 5 days? In other words, you can work extra, you can work over, you can write books, you can go on the internet. You cannot limit your income to what somebody else determined you're worth. Somebody else said you work $12 an hour. Somebody else said you work $20 an hour. Somebody else said you work $40,000 a year. You may have to, in addition to what you're doing, do something extra where you determine what you're worth. Now, I'm not talking about sitting on one job doing somebody else's work, but handle it with integrity. But the Bible says work hard. 6 days thou shalt labor. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, let's listen to what the Apostle Paul says here about working. Paul said, let him who stole steal no longer. Stealing is not the solution. I was visiting a man in prison not too long ago. There's a whole bunch. They got a place for you if you try to steal your way out of your financial problems. And they have to make sure you got something to wear and something to eat too. You'll get free TV if that's what you want. Stealing is not the solution. But rather let him what? Labor. Not only you can't borrow your way out of debt, you're going to have to work and pray and be patient. You're going to have to work your way out. The Bible said labor, working with your what? What is good? Why? That you might have some. Don't be waiting on Obama to send you something. Even though I did it, don't be waiting on your mama to send you something. I can't believe I said that. But don't be asking your wife what you gonna do to get us out of this mess. Bible says what? One lady told me she was looking for a BMW, a black man working. Bible says labor, work. Why? That you may have something. What this is saying is whatever I need, whatever you need, God has given us talents and gifts to work and get it. Are you with me? That you may have something to, and listen, when you work, listen what the Bible says, to give to him who what? Has need. God will bless you as not only you give to God, give to yourself, pay your creditors, but there's always somebody who has a need. And the Bible says you are to give to them. We see what Nehemiah did that in chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. He was a giver himself. He would not take a salary while they were working on the walls. Turn quickly to 2 Kings chapter 4. Here's a strong remedy for a woman whose back was against the wall, who had no money. 2 Kings. Chapter 4. This woman's husband has died. And we see where they would come and take your children and make them go to work. She cried out. I told you financial problems can make you cry out. Chapter 4, verse 1, 2 Kings chapter 4. She told the prophet Elisha, your servant, my husband is dead. My money ticket is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. Elisha, I was married to a man that feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? She said, tell me, what do you have in the house? Now listen, in other words, work with your hands, labor. Elisha said the solution to your problem is not the government. The solution to your problem is not the church bailing you out. He says the solution to your problem is not letting them take your sons off. Not you losing your stuff. He says, what's in your house? What do you have of value? You may have a cottage that's title free you can sell. You may have a treadmill that somebody give you $400-$500 but you're not using it anyhow. You may not know the value of the jewelry you have. You may have the solution to your problem might be in your house. You may have some old LP records of the Beatles and Ray Charles, and those things have become classics and antiques now, and they are worth thousands of dollars. They just might be sitting up in your mama's garage, will to you, and you don't know the value of it. What's in your house? What's within your ability to solve your own financial problem? She said, your maidservant has nothing in this house but a jar of oil. She didn't understand what she had. Then the prophet said to her, go borrow vessels from everywhere. From all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. Get you some more oil vessels. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she did that. She went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, listen what you do. Go sell. You know, before I can't call my mother now, she's no longer here. Every car I have, it would be for sale other than my wife. And if I got in bad enough shape, I'd sell hers. There's nothing I have that I own that would not be for sale before I would go borrow money. And I would apply it. You trying to get folk to help you out when you really have stuff of value, you could help yourself out. And just like God gave you that, how many of you know God will give you something else? It ain't nothing but stuff. Matter of fact, we shouldn't be so tied to things like that in the first place. Well, turn with me. I want to show you something. What happened? Proverbs 22:7. When you are so ridden with debt, the Bible says this will be the inevitable result. Proverbs 22:7. The rich rules over the poor. And the borrower is what? Servant to the lender. Which simply means that you can become a slave to your mortgage. You can become a slave to your car payment. In other words, debt will control you rather than you controlling it, and nothing should master you. Like, you don't even have the freedom to quit your job. I know folk who don't have debt. If they talk to them crazy work tomorrow, they say, well, thank you, God bless you, goodbye. But most of us have to take it, don't we? Because we got them bills staring us in the face. That's what it means when it says the borrower will become servant to the lender. I want you to look at the Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Turn there quickly. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. It says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Covetousness is lusting or desiring material stuff. The reason some of us in debt, we saw shoes that we had to buy. We saw suits we had to buy. We saw furniture we just had to have it. We saw some jewelry we had to have. Isn't it something when you look back and look at your money, all that jewelry, them clothes, that car, all the stuff we had to have, 3 years later when we get in a financial mess, it don't look good to us anymore. That's what the Bible means here. About says, don't be covetous. Let your conduct be without covetousness. But what? Be content. What's the remedy? Let me say, be content with such things as you have. Somebody ought to make up in their mind today. I said on TV the other night, we ought to be happy with Jesus alone. You see, the devil tell us I got to have Jesus and Judy, Jesus and John, Jesus and a Mercedes, Jesus and a vacation to Cancun. Whatever you add to it other than Jesus, how many know you just don't have to have it? That one of the beauties of being born again, you and I ought to be satisfied with simply Jesus. And anything else is just an add-on, it's a bonus, but it's not necessary. We got the pearl of great price. And when we have to have these other things, they end up squeezing Jesus in the second and third and fourth place in our lives. Seek ye first what? And all these other things shall be added. As I go to my seat. Well, this same truth is in 1 Timothy 6. Then I'm going to share with a few things with you before I take my seat. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Here is the remedy of handling your money problem. The Bible addresses money issues. Beginning with verse 6, it says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. God had to give me contentment even though I did not go borrow money. We brought nothing into this world. We'll take nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be what? Now, I don't care what you're going through. Most of us got food. Am I right about it? If you don't have food, the church will help you with food. We got a food pantry. Most of us got clothes, and if you don't have all the clothes you want, mama used to say, just make sure they're clean. Even if you have to wear the same clothes every 2 or 3 days, you can just make sure they're clean. And the Bible says, if you want to get out of debt, you're going to have to put off all unnecessary spending and just deal with food and clothing and apply the money towards your debt. He says, if you desire to be rich, you'll fall into temptation and a snare. And it could cause great problems. Just yesterday, I got a hold of this book. As a matter of fact, the author, I met him. And the name of this book is God's Plan for Your Finances. I want to close this message. What's the remedy, the young man asked me. This man closes this book on God's Plan for Your Finances. You know, it's got to be a good book. He got a good name. His name is Dwight Nichols. Dwight Nichols, he's a... African-American Christian brother, belongs to a Baptist church in Mobile, Alabama. He's a businessman. He's not a preacher. He's a businessman. He was here for the Miles Monroe Conference. And he says that 21 steps to building wealth. I can't explain them all, but number one, he says, write out your financial goal. That's what Nehemiah said, ponder in your heart. Think about it. Write out what you want. Number two, he says, live within your means. That's what my mama was telling me. Don't go borrow extra money. You got to tackle that problem. You got to live within the check you got. So if you got $800 a month coming in, you can't afford a $1,200 a month apartment. But some folk try to do that. One reason I turn the benevolence over, I don't handle benevolence at Cornerstone. Elders handle it, staff handle it. Y'all have to ask for a huge amount of money before they ask me to get involved. When I used to handle it, a lady came to me once. Her rent was like $600 a month at an apartment. She was only making $800 a month. I said, that will not work. She was a single lady. I said, well, if your mother will let you move back in with her, you might want to consider that. Oh, no, 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 no. You know, and I'm being trying to be a compassionate pastor. We went on and paid our rent. But guess what? 3 months later, the inevitable happened. The church couldn't pay our rent every month. And I had to get out because I needed somebody who was strong enough to tell the lady, that won't work. No, only thing we did was delayed the inevitable. Because of your bad financial decision choices, now you're asking the church to make bad choices. In other words, you got to learn to live with your means. If you make it $800, you're going to have to get a roommate or go find you a $300 house somewhere. I'm just being for real about it. Am I right? Live within your means. Set aside something from every paycheck. I already told you that. Every check. Every check something need to go. I don't care if you're not making it but $7 an hour. Set something aside out of every paycheck. You say, well, how can I pay my bills? Well, you're going to have to just make other adjustments, but set something aside. He says, set up a short-term contingency account. You need a short-term and a long-term. Keep proper records. Sometimes folk charge you for stuff that you don't even owe. He says, get out of debt. Go home. These crown people are going to help you develop a plan to get out of debt. I heard that message several years ago. One of the best things that happened was to just make up my mind that we were going to get out of debt. Number 7, learn how to make money work for you. Now, that's what I'm studying right now. How many of you know your money can work for you? You can work smart and not hard. He says, open a no-load or real-load mutual fund. Establish an RA. Use money market accounts. Eliminate, this is one you need right now. This needs to start today. Eliminate all unnecessary waste from current income. My wife and I went through a period where she washed my shirts and ironed my shirts. Didn't take them to the cleaner's wife. Cleaners told me because I was overweight, one of them wanted to charge me an extra dollar. So she washed them and ironed them. We save money. You can cut your own grass. You can wash your own cars. You could cut your cable TV bill down to zero. Y'all laughing, but people ask, we ask other people for help and we paying for all of these thrills. You got a cell phone, your wife got a cell phone, your 4-year-old baby got a cell phone. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Maybe just you or your wife, one of y'all can give up a cell phone. I'd rather my wife to have it than me. My wife always drives the best car. I'd rather be broke, stuck on the road than her to get stuck on the road. Eliminate all unnecessary spending. Now, there used to be a day when we cooked on Saturday night and just warmed it up after church on Sunday. Y'all remember them days? Now we go out and make black-eyed peas and lubies and everybody else rich. We need to stop being so lazy and go back to cooking at home. Especially if your goal is to get out of debt. Avoid buying insurance that you may not need. That may be where a lot of your money going, and he evaluates the kind of insurance you need. I won't get into that. We got some insurance people in our church. So I'm gonna leave that alone right now. I don't care what it is. You need to evaluate the sermon. You need to evaluate every bill you got. You need to evaluate it. You need to evaluate whether you get something out of my sermon today. Reduce or eliminate all existing interest payments. Sometimes if you're paying people regularly, if you call them and ask them to reduce the interest, they will. I'm serious. Now, if you're not paying them regularly, they'll raise it. They won't reduce it. He says, save up to 50% on the cost of an automobile. He talks about how to do your home mortgages to save money. Learn how to reduce your taxes. Establish a workable estate plan for your family. Look for creative ways to increase your current income. God has blessed me from you with a generous salary and income, but my wife, she does stuff. Hey, you know what? We don't own this church. This church is owned by Cornerstone. Y'all could throw me out tomorrow. Or y'all could walk off and leave me here, then I gotta go. So me and my wife, we do stuff on our time and off the clock. Why? Because it's just wise to try to have multiple streams of income. Don't just depend on one source. I believe in you, I trust you, but I need to try to find me some more money too. What if GM shut down tomorrow? What if American Airlines shut down tomorrow? You need other streams of income. Plant a seed to help others. There are people right here today who have some needs that you can sow into. Be patient. It won't happen overnight. When Bill and I made up our minds to get out of debt, I think it took us about 5 years. It didn't happen instantaneously, but we worked at it. Again, we had to stop eating out. We had to cut back. We went 10 years without cable TV. I'm serious. My kids would come home and say, they watching this on TV, they watching that on TV. Why is it not on our TV? Because I ain't paying for it. I don't think I came out too bad. When I would watch TV, I had ABC, NBC, CBS. It didn't hurt me. It ain't gonna kill your kid. And when you get a cable for $100+ every month, that could buy, put gas in the car. That could pay a water bill. That could buy groceries for 10 or 12 days. So you got to be patient. Those are just some things that are the remedy. God bless you. I'm through.
You've been listening to the teaching and preaching ministry of Pastor Dwight McKissick from the Cornerstone Baptist Church in Arlington, Texas. To purchase this and other teachings from the pulpit library of Pastor Dwight McKissick, call 817-468-0083 or log on to cbcarlington.org, where you'll also find a link to our Facebook page where you can get daily encouragement and information. Once again, thanks for listening to Cornerstone Baptist Church, a ministry built on faith, family, and fellowship.